Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, you're going to open them up to somewhere different than we've been opening them to, all right? We're going to open them up to Matthew this morning. That's where we're going to start in Matthew and read in Matthew a little bit. Because of Father's Day, we're taking a little break from our Joshua series. We've been walking through Joshua each week, but we're taking this little break because of Father's Day. Now, some of you say, "Well, I'm not a father, so how is this going to pertain to me this morning?" Right? But the reality is, I think that this message this morning will challenge all of us because it's really about being who God has called each of us to be, whether you're a father, you know, just a man of God, a woman of God, a mother, whatever you are. It's about who God's called us to be. And it's about what God expects of us as people who desire to follow Him. That's what I hope to explore this morning as we look at really a great example in the Scriptures of a godly father. And so that's what we're going to look at this morning. Before we dive into the Word, though, I want to share some things with you. When Stacy and I first had Toby is our boy, and he's our first, and then we have Emma. And when we first had Toby, it was interesting when you first have a child, because you have to start thinking about things that you never thought about before. And one of those things that we had to think about is, what if something happened to us? You know, what if there was a tragedy and Toby was left without his mom and dad? And you hate to think of those things. It's like, no way. No one can raise my son but me, right? You know, those thoughts in your mind and whatnot. But what if? What if something happened? Who would we want to take care of Toby? Who would we want to raise our precious little boy and then after raise our boy and our girl? It's an interesting question. And it makes you really think about what would you look for in parents to replace you? What would we want in a mother or in a father that would end up raising our kids because we couldn't? That's a tough question, right? Because no one can be as good as me, right? At least that's what we think. No one can raise our kids better than I can. What do we look for? Well, it's interesting. These thoughts about my own son caused me to think about Jesus. Now think about this. You see, God was sending his son Jesus down into the world, into humanity as a baby. So God himself had to choose who was going to parent his son. Who was he going to have raise up his little boy? Now we know from the Scriptures, we know that he chose Joseph and Mary, right? We know that from the Scriptures. But have you ever thought about why? What was it about Joseph and Mary that caused God to choose them to raise his son? The Messiah, okay? This isn't just any son either. This is to be the Messiah. And more specifically this morning, I want to kind of look at what was it about Joseph? As we're talking about Father's Day, what was it about Joseph that God saw in him that would want him to be the earthly father of his son? Now, the thing is, the reality is, we know a lot more about Mary from the Scriptures than we do about Joseph. There's not a whole lot in the Scriptures about Joseph. As a matter of fact, I'll be honest, I didn't even realize this for myself until I started to study about Joseph. But did you realize that the Bible does not record one single word that Joseph said? Not one word, right? Now, I think the reason I didn't realize this is I think oftentimes we assume that his words are recorded, right? Because we can almost imagine in our mind the conversations, you know, between him and Mary, right? We can almost imagine the conversation between Gabriel, the angel, right? When the angel comes to him, we can almost imagine this conversation with them. And you know, we all, and I think we've even seen it in the, you know, the plays at Christmas, they make it seem like Joseph talked to the innkeeper, right? We can almost imagine the words of him saying, "Do you have room for us?" Whatever it is. But there are no written conversations that we see. He's not recorded saying a single thing throughout the Scriptures. And I think that it's probably because of this that Joseph often takes a back seat to Mary, right, in the role as parent of Jesus. But I believe Joseph's role as the father of Jesus was just as important as Mary's role as his mother. You see, God's decision of Joseph to be the earthly father of Jesus was no less significant than his decision for Mary to be his mother. Both roles were equally important. Both played a part in who Jesus would become as he was raised up. And the role of a mother and father in a child's life today, I believe, is equally important, right? There's no one more important than the other. As a matter of fact, my son this morning asked me, he said, "Who do you think it's, you know, I forget how he worded it. He said something along the line of, who do you think is more important, you know, to a child, the mother or the father?" And I thought it was interesting that he asked me that question this morning. And I said, "Tobes, I think it's equal. We both play a part in raising our children. And it's an equal thing between the mother and the father." You know, I think he was thinking about childbirth, you know, and the pain that they go through. And then he reminded me that, "Well, yeah, but then dads have to step on the Legos barefoot," you know. And I'm like, "Okay, whatever, that comparison." But anyways, that's my son, and that's how his mind thinks. But they're equally important. God created the family. He created the role of the mother and father for them to work together. It's meant to be a partnership where the two work hand in hand to teach and raise their children in the admonition of the Lord. That's how it's meant in a perfect world, right? With that said, I realize that we live in a fallen world. And because of that, we do see single parents who have to raise their kids on their own. And for whatever reasons, whether that's because of divorce, whether that's because of death, or maybe other circumstances in our lives. And I want to say this just this morning. If you find yourself in that situation, because of the world around us, because of situations in your life, I think the greatest encouragement that I can bring to you this morning, God's grace is sufficient for you. God's grace is sufficient for you. Yes, in a perfect world, God intended for a husband and wife to be able to work together to raise their kids, but we live in a fallen world, and oftentimes we have many single parents. And my greatest encouragement is God's grace is sufficient for you and for your kids. And my encouragement is that you cling to the Lord. Allow Him to help you in this journey of raising your child as a single parent, if that's you. And I also want to say, don't be afraid to let others, whether it's friends or family, to come alongside and help you in being role models and help you in raising your children and speaking into their lives. You know, my wife and I, we've got the mother and father combination here, but I want my kids to have other great godly men and women of their in their lives that can speak into them as well. We all need that. Every kid needs that. And so I would also encourage you, if you know someone who is a single parent or a single mom or dad or single taking care of their kids, I encourage you to be an encouragement to them, to come alongside their kids and to be great role models, because we all should be great role models and mentors to others around us. Amen? Amen. That was my little side note. So now let's get back to Joseph this morning. His role as a father in Jesus' life was extremely important, and I think often it's overlooked. Even though we don't hear him speak throughout Scripture, we're reminded of the truth that oftentimes actions speak louder than words. And it's the actions that we see from Joseph that point out the qualities that God saw in him and why he chose him to be the father of his son, Jesus. You see, this morning I want to share with you three characteristics about Joseph. Three characteristics that I believe made him a great father, made him a great man, made him just a great follower of God. So if you're a father, this should speak to you this morning. If you're just a man of God, you don't have kids yet, that's great. This should speak to you this morning. If you're just a follower of Jesus, if you're a woman, whatever it is, whoever you are this morning, this should speak to you. And so we're going to start this morning. We're going to read out of Matthew chapter 1. We're going to read verses 18 through 25. And let me just throw this in. We're going to actually read this morning. I'm going to read out of the New American Standard Bible. I grew up on the New American Standard Bible up till I don't know what grade, and somewhere when the NIV came out, I don't know, 7th, 8th grade, made the switch, but I realized a lot of what I memorized and how I remembered scriptures was from the New American, and so I was remembering some scriptures, and I looked, and it didn't look the same in NIV, and so I went and looked in New American Standard, and I liked the way it read, so that's what I'm going to read to you this morning. Basically says the same things, but just uses different words to do it, and so anyways, you can follow along with me, verses 18 through 25. This is what it says. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit." Now, before they came together, that means before they consummated, you know, the marriage, and they were just engaged. So, you know, anyways, you know what that means, the birds, the bees, all that kind of stuff. Verse 19, "And Joseph, her husband," it says husband, but it was because that's the way the words they used back then, "being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, 'Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which translated means 'God with us.' And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus." I feel like I'm back in December, right? Christmas time. Anyways, so we read this scripture this morning. The first characteristic that I want to point out about Joseph that I believe made him a great father, made him just a great man, a great follower of God, was this, is he was full of grace. He was full of grace. In verse 19, you'll notice that it said, "not wanting to disgrace her." Not wanting to disgrace Mary, he planned to send her away quietly. He planned to send her away quietly. Now think about this from Joseph's perspective. Put yourself in Joseph's shoes, okay? Let's go back in time. Let's put ourselves in the shoes of Joseph. Here you have, you've fallen in love with this beautiful young woman, right? And you, as a godly man, you've done all the right things. You pursued her, right? And you did everything according to the laws and customs of the church at that time. And you had those quiet moments with her where you talked about the dreams and the future of being together, right? You know, you talked about that beautiful little cottage with the white picket fence, right? You talked about, you know, having wonderful little ones running around the house, the family that you would have. You talked about the fact that, you know, you're a carpenter and you wanted to have your own business there right in the middle of town, this carpentry business. You had all these great ideas and thoughts of what your life would look like. And then out of the blue, you learn that this sweet little girl that you thought you knew so well, she's now pregnant, right? And you have no idea who the father is. You just know one thing. It's not you, right? Unless the old doorknob theory is correct, it's not you, right? And you know that that's not true. How would this make you feel? Think about this. This woman that you love, you've done everything right, and now she's pregnant. You know it's not you. How would you feel? Angry? Betrayed? What are the emotions that you would go through? And how would you respond to her? What would you think about her? How would you react? Now, the penalty for adultery back in this time was death by stoning. He had every right to be able to do that. And you know, you may have been mad. What? How could you do that? You know, that's some of the thoughts that might have gone through. I'll show her. She's humiliated me. I'm going to humiliate her, right? Some of those thoughts, that's how, sometimes how our minds work, right? Because we live in a fallen world. But that's not what Joseph did. That's not what Joseph thought. Even before the angel spoke to him, even before he knew the truth of what really happened, he was going to let her go quietly, right? Joseph shows us here that he was a man of grace. He had grace towards Mary. And it's interesting, as I think of this kind of grace that Joseph showed towards Mary, I can't help but fast forward 30-some years down the road where his son, Jesus, is there in the temple courts and they bring before him an adulterer, right? And they're saying, let's throw some stones at her, right? Because that's what you're supposed to do. He too could have called for this woman to be stoned, but instead he said, what? He said, let any of you who is without sin throw the first stone, right? And what happens? They all scatter away. And now Jesus is standing there. Now guess what? Jesus is without sin. He had every right to pick up a stone. But he didn't. He showed the woman grace and he told her to go and to sin no more. I wonder how much of the grace that we see in Jesus was what his earthly father, Joseph, had taught him. And I think oftentimes we believe that Jesus, just because he was the Son of God, right? He just naturally knew what was right and wrong. When he popped out, he was listening and obeying to everything and knew exactly what to do. That's what we think. But perhaps God chose Joseph because he knew he was a man of grace and he would model that and teach that for his son Jesus. How well do we model grace for our kids, as fathers, as mothers, or just as people? How well do we model grace towards others? You see, I think a lot of times we forget that our kids are just kids. I know I'm guilty of this. Time and time again, I so often, especially sometimes in church here and as a pastor, when other people are around, I want my kids to be perfect, right? But why? Because I want to make myself look good, right? I want my kids to be perfect so I look good. And oftentimes in the midst of that, we forget we were just like them at one time, right? We were kids, we messed up, we failed, we were far from perfect. And I can tell you, I know for a fact, I was a lot worse than my kids. I know that, all right? Thankfully, they take more after their mother when it comes to obedience and doing the right things, because I didn't do that when I was a little kid, all right? I messed up. I was disobedient. I was 10 times worse than my kids. And because of that, I should know, I should realize. But even then, I forget that they're kids, and at times I lack the grace that I should have with them. And we do the same with people in our lives. We're screw-ups. We mess up, but we lack the grace for others who mess up in our lives. You see, I believe great fathers, great men, great followers, great people are people who learn to walk in grace. They realize their own imperfections in their life. They realize that it's by grace and grace alone that they're able to continue to walk in their relationship with the Lord. And they allow the grace they've been given to be given to others through their own life. Joseph was a great father, a great man, and a great follower of God because he was full of grace. He walked in grace. And the secondly is I believe he was a great father, great man, great follower of God because He was obedient. He was obedient. It's interesting. It seems like every place we see Joseph talked about in Scripture, he was doing what God had told him to do. We see it right here in verse 24. It says, Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He did what he was told to do. That right there, that's the definition of obedience, right? Doing what you're told to do. And I think the key here, when we look at Joseph's life, is he did whatever God asked him to do. Even if it meant being a little uncomfortable. Even if it meant it would bring shame to his life. Even if it meant it was going to be difficult and hard. He did whatever God asked him to. Think about this. His soon-to-be wife is pregnant. Right? They're engaged. They're not officially married yet. His soon-to-be wife is pregnant. Right? They're not supposed to consummate the marriage till after the vows. Okay? What do you think people are going to think? What are the views of people going to be? Right? Ooh, did you hear about Mary? They aren't married yet, and her tummy's getting a little big. And I haven't been seeing her eating any extra tacos or anything either, all right? And I can guarantee you people aren't going to believe the truth, right? You got pregnant how? So God's the father of your child. Okay, right? Can you imagine, you know, someone telling you that? Now, we've read the Scriptures. We know, we've seen all that's happened. But in this time, can you imagine how people would respond? Joseph knew the reality of this situation. He knew how everyone would look at them. He knew what it would look like to everyone else. And it would have been real easy for Joseph to say, you know what? I'm sorry, God, I can't do this. I don't want to go through the pain, the humiliation, the embarrassment. That's fine. You find another dad for her. He could have easily done that, but he didn't. He walked in obedience, even when it was uncomfortable. You see, how often do we allow the opinions of others or the uncomfortable situations keep us from being obedient, from doing what we really should do? You know, several years ago, I was in one of those bookstore coffee shops, and I was sitting there preparing for youth group, and had my Bible and drinking some coffee and just kind of studying, and I look up and I see this elderly lady at a table across from me, and she kind of looks sad, and you know, at that moment I start to, you know, wonder thoughts about I wonder what's up with her or whatever. So anyways, I had just some thoughts looking at her, and even just, I think, said like a quick little prayer, Lord, oh, just bless her, whatever. And so then I went back to my Bible and started reading. And I just heard the Lord kind of impress my heart. He said, go tell her that I love her. Right? And my first thought was, what? No, that's just me. I see that she's, you know, looks a little sad over there. And I'm just stirring up these things, you know. That's just me, right? So I go back to reading. And I just hear the Lord say, Darren, go over and tell her that I love her, right? And I'm sitting there going, are you serious? You want me to go over there, this woman that I don't know, and tell her that I love her? And here's the thing. It wasn't a difficult thing. It was such a simple little thing. But I didn't want to do it. Why? Why didn't I want to do it? Well, number one, I was worried that she was going to think I was some freak, right? I was worried what she was going to think about me. I knew it was going to be a little uncomfortable, and I didn't want to be uncomfortable. Now, after wrestling with it for a while, I finally ended up going over, and I asked her, I just said, hey, excuse me, ma'am, this may just sound really crazy, but I just feel like the Lord wanted me to tell you that he loves you. You know? Now, we didn't have any real deep conversations. You know, we talked for a moment. Talked about the fact of being obedient when God speaks to us. Now, was her life changed? Did I change her life forever? I don't think so. As a matter of fact, I think I got more impacted by that little interaction than she did, because I learned that I couldn't let my fears and worries keep me from doing what God asked me to do. Even if it's just something simple, even if it's something that may make me look to be like a fool, right? What does it hurt to go and just tell someone, hey, Jesus loves you. He cares about you, what you're going through, the struggles that you're facing. But yet I didn't want to do that because I was worried about myself. It's so easy for us to not be obedient when we're supposed to let fears and worries keep us from doing what we should do. You see, Joseph knew things would be uncomfortable. He knew people would think things that weren't true. But he didn't let that keep him from walking in obedience. He didn't let that keep him from doing what he knew he was supposed to do. Whatever God asked of him, he did. When he was told to get up in the middle of the night and take his family to Egypt because Herod wanted to kill Jesus, he got up and went immediately. Think of this, okay? This is the middle of the night. The Lord tells you to get up. You know, here he is. He's a carpenter. I'm sure he, you know, was fairly settled in Nazareth here, right? Had his business, had things going on. And in the middle of the night, he's told, get up, pack everything, and go. And he had no idea where he was going. I mean, other than heading towards Egypt, he had no idea whether he would find work there, where how he would provide for his family, where they would live, what they would do. He had no idea. That's obedience, right? When you just pack up and you go because God said go. You see, godly obedience is saying, not my will, but your will be done, which is exactly what we see here from Joseph in the few scriptures that we read about him. And again, I find myself fast-forwarding 30 years to Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, right? Jesus is there struggling with the thought of having to die on a cross. But what does he say? Not my will, but your will be done. We see Jesus do the ultimate act of obedience. You see, more and more as I've studied Joseph this week, more and more I'm realizing why God chose him to be the father of his son. The more and more I study Joseph, the more and more I believe that he was a huge example in Jesus' life, a huge example of grace and obedience. What kind of example of obedience are we showing to our kids? What kind of example of obedience are we showing to others if we don't have kids? Are we showing others how we embrace obedience? Or are we showing others how we run from obedience? Or at least if we don't run, we at least turn the other way, right? And start walking away from it. Joseph is a great example of one who embraced obedience. He did whatever the Lord asked him to do. And I want to finish this morning with one last thought. Third and final characteristic that I believe made Joseph a great father, a great man, just a great follower of God, was that he was a man of faith. And you want to know how I know this is true about Joseph? Because you can't walk in obedience like Joseph did without faith. You can't show grace and obedience the way we see Joseph without faith. To believe that a virgin could be with child from the Holy Spirit and give birth to the Son of God, that takes some faith, right? It takes some huge faith to be willing to get up in the middle of the night, to leave for a foreign country with no idea of what lies ahead. Takes faith to be able to fully embrace godly grace and obedience takes faith. It's believing God is who He says He is. Believing that God is who He says He is. Because I believe this, if we really believed, right? Because I know we believe. Yeah, I believe. How much do we really believe? Because I believe if we really believe God is who He says He is, we'd be willing to do whatever He asks of us. You see, faith, it's a powerful, powerful thing. We learned last week, right? Do you remember last week? Faith can move mountains. Little girls praying for this physical mountain to be moved. And the next day we see construction workers coming and taking that mountain away for Phil. God moved that mountain. Faith can move mountains. And I believe that faith can be contagious when we live it out in our lives. Are we allowing our faith to be passed on to others? When people see the faith that we have, when they see what God does in our life, are they being encouraged and is it being contagious and passed on to others? You see, I know for a fact that I am the man of faith that I am today because of my father. Talk about fathers on Father's Day. My dad was a man of faith, and I know I am the man of faith that I am today because of him. He trusted in the Lord. Always. I don't remember a time when we were going through difficulties or challenges where my dad didn't trust in the Lord. It didn't matter the circumstances or situations. He always trusted that God was in control. And as a young, impressionable kid, I then came to believe that God could do anything. And I saw God do amazing things in my life, in my father's life. From miraculously, some of you have heard the story, from miraculously healing my dad's leg 2 days after he broke it, snapped it in half. The Lord healed it. He went in, had the cast cut off, and walked out perfectly fine. To times when we had absolutely nothing, and God came through and provided. People bringing groceries to our doorsteps. Faith is contagious. And we should be passing on that faith to others. Our faith allows us to be full of grace. Our faith helps us walk in obedience. And the question we all have to ask ourselves, where are we at in our faith in the Lord? Do we believe God is who He says He is? So much so that we'll do whatever He tells us to do. There's an old story I used to use in youth group years ago. It was about a man who got a little too close to the edge of this cliff, and he ended up falling some 75 feet until he was able to grab on to this tree limb that stuck out from this cliff. And after catching himself, he looked down to see a 1,000-foot drop that would ultimately mean death if he let go. And so this man, he began to cry out, "Help! Help! Is anybody up there? Again, help, help, is anybody up there?" And after a little while, he heard a voice. "I am here. I can help you." The frantic man, he called back. He said, "Great. Help me, please. Who are you?" The voice answered, "I'm God. And I'm here to help you." And the man thought, "Oh, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Please, please help me get out of this mess." So then God replied, "I'll help you, but you need to trust me. Do you have faith that I can help you?" "Yes, I have faith. Just please help me." "Okay, then I want you to do something for me." "What? What? Anything?" "Let go of the limb and I will catch you." The man looked down at the 1,000 feet below him, thought for a minute, and then began to shout, "Is there anybody else up there that can help me?" A lot of times that's us, right? God's saying, let go of the limb. Trust me, I'll catch you. I'm here. And we start shouting, is there anyone else around that can help me? You see, faith is being willing to let go of the limb. It's trusting that our life is in His hands. Joseph let go of the limb. He put God's will before His own. His grace, His obedience, His faith is why I believe God chose him to be the father of His Son. And if we can learn these things, I believe that we can be great followers of the Lord. That's God's desire for each of our life, to be people who walk in grace, to walk in obedience, and live out His faith. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this word. And even this word challenged me so much this week. I've never looked so in-depthly at the life of Joseph. I think oftentimes, like everyone else, I've overlooked him and the role that he played in raising Your Son. To think about that. To be someone given that honor to raise the Son of God. And as I've studied and as I've looked, I realize, Lord, in the few scriptures that there are, I see some amazing things about this man. He was a man of grace. He was a man of obedience. He was a man of faith. He put Your will above His own. He put the will of Your Son above His own. Lord, that's what I want to learn to do. Lord, I hope that's what each of us want to learn to do, Lord, to be people who put Your will above ours, who learn to walk in the will that You have for us, who are willing, Lord, to walk in grace, to realize that we ourselves, Lord, are sinners. We have no right to judge others. Teach us how to be gracious to those around us, Lord, to just simply give to others the grace that You've given to us. Lord, help us to be people who walk in obedience, Lord, who say yes to You in whatever You ask of us. When You tell us to get up and to go, that we get up and go. When You tell us to sit down and stay still, we sit down and stay still, Lord. Whatever You ask of us, that we would be obedient, Lord. And that, Lord, we would just be people of faith that believe in You and that believe Your will and Your desire is better than anything we could hope and desire in our own lives, Lord. Thank You for this word. May You allow it to penetrate our hearts, Lord. May You allow it to challenge us to be who You've called us to be, whether that's a great father, whether that's just a great man of God, whether that's a great mother, a great woman of God, whatever it may be, Lord, help us to be what You've called us to be, Lord. We thank You for this word. May it encourage us and challenge us as we go from here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.